you have to be here, you know, privately with Hashem. Okay, so the last time we got together, remember what we were talking about?
A few weeks ago, doing everyday things, how using or doing something that's everyday somehow is infused with Kedusha.
This is very good. More specifically, when the Kayim, some mitzvah, by doing it, and being mechanic, first of all, the recognition of what the mitzvah is, and then the b'shas ma'aseh, having that intent, the b'shas ma'aseh. What's your first name?
Benjamin.
I imagine you explained to your brother what we do here.
I haven't. I just told him he should come, and he said, okay, that's
yeah, what we're hoping. I mean, it's really a workshop group, and we try to work on things the mice. In other words, it's not just like a shear. I speak about a certain Indian, and then I give them an activity to, and we have a discussion also from the members how it went, and so we're admitting the whole, the essence of what it is. That's what we do here.
When he comes and makes Aliyah, then he'll be able to come more. But in the meantime,
I figure. I'll tell you, you have a group of colleagues in Boston where you live that would be interested in having such a group like that, like this.
Well, I have a couple of groups of the style you're thinking.
Yeah.
Different content areas.
Yeah.
I'm very interested to hear what this is and perhaps get a group around and share the sheer on the other side.
Right,
that would
right.
be lovely.
Because I do have groups that I give them chutzpah with the telephone. So if you're interested in getting a group together, a few of your friends, and you have it, on the telephone. But would you like to say something, Moshe?
It was interesting because I didn't understand the issue of the being mekayem the mitzvah. That part I didn't quite get. But I was thinking of things like when I was driving or using my BlackBerry or, using the computer, thinking of, like an everyday event and thinking about what Kedusha, what emanates or what happens in doing that. And a few things struck me. One is it was very similar when we started back at Vibracious, that the idea we had of the whole, that everything is all connected to everything. That when you everything is all connected to Baruch Hu. And in a sense, the electronic, the stuff that we do, the everyday, is also connected. I mean, at the end of the day, I was thinking, really, when you look into it, it's all emanates from a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and then the whole thing is just a tool, in a sense, of trying to do whatever we're. So I thought that was something similar.
Yeah, I mean, that's very beautiful, the thought that you had. But in the other groups, I actually spoke this out, that such an activity like that is really a manifestation of this concept that we're working on, that Eino Mubadai, the presence of Hashem all over. And by doing this Uvda, we're carrying out Lamaisa, actually in the activities that we do. But let me, you want to say the second thing you want
no,
to say?
The other thing I was, again, it's not, the problem is that I see in the Rav's introduction just now that I don't think I did the Uvda correctly, the whole issue of the mitzvah.
I'll explain to you again the Toitzah of the, the outcome of it, as you just said, is Kedusha, but the actual input is a little bit more structured. It's not just like a general thing of Kedusha. In the introduction that we gave, we explained that the general perspective that we would have over the things that we do during the day, we divide them into three categories: mitzvahs, averis, negative things, and then you have the gashmistic things in the middle that aren't mitzvahs, not averis. That's the muskovishin, the superficial way of looking at it. But the Chavos Levavos explains that it's really not so. It's either positive or negative. There aren't things in the middle. What he means by it is that the positive things that we do, really, the gashmistic things we do, most of them, is some mitzvah involved in it. An example that we give is brushing your teeth in the morning, right? So that we do it because our mothers knocked into our heads that we should brush our teeth. But the truth is, it's a mitzvah of b'shmartem etznaf shaseichem, right? So the fact that you're doing it, you get some schar, because be'etzem, in an essence, it's a mitzvah. But if while you're doing it, you have kavana, if you're doing it for the purpose of b'shmartem etznaf shaseichem, so the mitzvah the mitzvah aspect is like, multiplied in an awesome amount. Like it's like a little firecracker compared to a major explosion. In other words, the ruchnius that you get in brushing your teeth, if you consciously apply the thought that you're doing the mitzvah of taking care of your body, so the mitzvah aspect of it is many times fold, right? So all these gashmistic or materialistic secular things that we do throughout the day, so if we're able to put the proper label on it, which mitzvah it is, and then the Shas Maisa, as we're doing it, to have the presence of mind, that mitzvah, so it's awesome what we can really accomplish for ourselves, right? So that's what this activity is, to be able to label different activities that we do during the day that we're not even cognizant of at the mitzvahs, to realize the mitzvahs and what mitzvahs they are, and then as we're doing them, to have the presence of mind to apply that machshava. So other examples would be, person polishes their shoes, right? So it's a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, right? That a religious Jew, he looks nice, so it makes a Kiddush Hashem. So who thinks of here you can convert such a a basic, simple, I don't know what word to use for it, but a,
like a task?
Right. A simple task, right? And you convert it into Mamash and Maitz and Mitzvah. This is Ramesh's brother, Benjamin, right, from Boston.
Without the glasses.
So, were you here last time when we spoke about you were here?
I haven't been here since before the pre-Hanukkah one.
Uh-huh.
Which is, I missed one last week.
Right. Well, last week we didn't get together with that Tainu. We're discussing tonight what was the last Uvda of recognizing different things to do throughout the day, that they're the mitzvahs. That the mitzvah content
or power of something.
What?
Something about power of mitzvah, power of time.
Right.
That there is no power.
No power. I wasn't there. Someone told me. Actually, someone in their bus told me about it.
So, is this when I do a task? So then, my attention is what's the mitzvah underlying this task,
right?
But then, does it also act as, if I can't think of a mitzvah that belongs with this task, then why am I doing this task? Is that also part of it? Is it a
Well, not really, not really. But it's a very good, outcome of it. You know, like it's a byproduct, I should say, a good byproduct. But the concentration, of, you know, the emphasis on this exercise is just recognizing. You know, we just want to limit it to this thing, recognizing the mitzvah of the task, and then as you're doing it, you know, to have the train yourself to have, which is a very it's not an easy thing because we're not used at all to doing this. That we do our materialistic things. Like we should think of it in terms of a mice and mitzvah, right? So the exercise itself that we do is like, of course, very limited. The exercise was twice a day. We should try to do this. You know, have this in mind. It's two of our materialistic acts that we do to to put in, to apply, the machshava, the mitzvah. And the truth is that the accomplishment is awesome. In other words, the schar that we get and the ruchnius that we get from just this little machshava, it's frightening, like how much a person can accomplish. Like it's a catalytic agent, it's a chemical that actually is converting a simple thing into a dvar mitzvah. And the mitzvah is so choshev, doesn't cost any money, and no time, because you're doing it anyway. And it's just a little bit effort of putting the machshava in and actually converting, you're making I don't know exactly what they were and what they did, but the Chabas Lubavitch speaks about there was a time that there were certain people that were able to take materials and convert them into gold, into what would they call the alchemists,
yeah. Right.
So according to secular world, I don't know who they were, what they did. Did they speak about it in secular? I know the Chabas Lubavitch.
Well, many of the people who invented science,
yeah,
were alchemists,
yeah, alchemists
as well.
Yeah.
They held a strong view of God, mm-hmm, but they also held that there's a way of looking at the world that doesn't include God.
Uh-huh.
And then there's this middle ground, uh-huh, like, well, maybe we can convert one,
uh-huh,
to the other.
Yeah, but anyway, I mean, the Chabad Baba speaks about them, that they were able to take different materials and convert them into, according to science today, we can surely understand, it's just the atoms, the speed of the atoms, how the revolution, how quickly, you just have to play around with the speed, this activity reminds me very much of this kind of thing. Like, in other words, you're taking a simple miser, like, let's say, polishing your shoes, and you're creating gold and diamonds from it. You're making it into a... And we have to believe, b'emunah shleima, that it's awesome, the act. That once you're able to... I think it's so awesome, the thought of it, is that it's hard for the mind to accept it, that without any money, without any cost, just applying a little thought, that you're able actually to make such a metamorphosis, to create such a change, that, if I tell you that in order to do this, you have to fast, 2 months, and then go to the mikveh 50 times, and put on a few garzels, and, who knows what, then maybe you can do such a thing like this, to create from a mundane act, create a mitzvah from it. You say you have to, be a malach or some great tzaddik. And here we're just saying that just with a simple little thought, when you're doing it, that you're able to mamash make this awesome metamorphosis, make this change, right? So I think that's one of the difficulties in doing the act, accepting it in our minds that's really happening, that the little thought has that power to make the conversion.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we should just leave this for this week. Usher wasn't here. and you didn't have it correct.
I did not have it correct,
right.
That's for sure.
So maybe we'll... I was planning to go on to some other activity tonight, but they're not here.
So how is it? This may not be a question you can answer. But how is it that the thought, the recognition of the mitzvah inside the act, how is it that that one point of awareness creates this explosion, as you called it, this metamorphosis that explodes the action into, you know, mamash, into a big thing? How is it that thought does that? Or what is the kind of thought that I need to bring in order for that to happen? That's a better question.
The fact that thought has the power to do it, it's one of the most important principles of our whole Avodas Hashem, that we're taught that which is one of the most important principles of our whole Yiddishkeit, our whole Judaism, that thought has power. Thought has power. And thought has you know, that we serve Hashem, you know, with our acts, you know, just ma'asim, and with our dibur and thought. Thought is a whole area of serious. Serious about Hashem, and one of the most important principles in Yiddishkeit is the power that thought has. In other words, the input that, like, we understand that when you put on tefillin, you do an act that it should have significance and have meaning. But thought is I think what makes it maybe difficult also to accept is that in the secular world. In the secular world, you don't have this concept at all. In other words, thought in the secular world is just preparation for something, right? In other words, it's the planning process that will come out. Has to come out the ma'aseh in the form of an action. But the thought itself doesn't have any intrinsic meaning. Right? It doesn't have any, if you think bad about somebody. Or have impure thoughts, or on the contrary, you think positive. It's all between the person and himself, and doesn't go any further than that. You know, and of course, thought has reflection on our actions, and if a person wants to have self improvement, so he should maybe work on his thoughts. But intrinsically, thought. Really doesn't have any meaning. Acts have meaning, but thought doesn't. And according to the Torah, a thought is like an act. In other words, it has mamish, mamoshes, and it's very real. Just as we understand that acts are real, I pick something up and put it down, make a kesher with the tefillin. It's very real. So one of the most important principles of the Torah is that thought has meaning. Like we find it in a positive way for mitzvahs, like a person thinks in Torah and thinks good of a person. The world of thought is a very real area in Avodas Hashem. You have to lerecha kamocha, right? That thought, it's a mitzvah, and we're gaining star for it. You have to rest the mother that love, for somebody, and the thought that gives the person the concern. And what about Avas Hashem? Avas Hashem is very real, right? Because Baruch Hu knows our thoughts, and we're getting star. You have to Eish Hashem Elokecha, the whole of Baruch Hu. Right here, right? So it's considered like very, 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 very real, very solid, very mamashistic, you know. So the principle itself, that the thought over here has power, it's not a chiddush here, right? It's just the regular principle that consistent that the Torah preaches that thought is something real and has mashmoyes, it has implications and we deal with it like a reality, right? But the chiddush over here is that thought at that time has that power. That's what the chiddush is. And I say again that if we were able to see a anatomy of what's taking place behind the scenes, that what was the act before you had the thought, and what the act with the thought is, that it's so awesome that I think that's mind-boggling, that it's difficult for our minds to accept that okay, we know thought means something, but to take like a simple act and convert it to such a degree is very difficult for us to accept. You know, like you say, it can't be a thing like that, you know, just by having that thought, like let's say the Havdil, maybe a certain stock, you know, that in order to invest in it, you just have to think that you want to invest in it, and you have the investment. You don't have to put down money. You just have to think that you want the stock, and you're invested. You can't be, and you make millions of dollars just by thinking that you want to have, you know, the thought that you're investing with your mind. You want to invest it, and just the thought will get you the dividend of the stock. You say, can't be that money or anything like that. It can't be something like that. So over here, it's like more than stocks. It's more than money. Something much more precious, you know, the ruchnius of the mitzvah is much more than money, and it's accessible. We access it just we're putting that thought in. So it's a very interesting activity then to make a panorama of the different things we do during the day, and to find like different mitzvahs that. One of them I find is very interesting is that some of them are logical things. You don't need a source. Brushing your teeth. So we know that's take care of your body. So that's a plain simple thing. But some of them are chazal. Some of them are midrashim. One of them is very fascinating, that the Gemara says that when you wash your face in the morning. So you're becoming the mitzvah of giving cover to Hashem, because the face is like Shalom Elokim, right? So the Gemara gives an example that if you had a statue of the king in the house, wouldn't it make sense that you should keep it clean and neat and, you know, to take care of it, right? That's a covenant for the king, that you have a statue, image of the king, so it's a natural thing that you honor the king by taking care of it. So the Gemara makes an analogy that the faith is the Tzelem Elokim. So by taking proper care of your face, washing your face in the morning, you actually make the mitzvah of giving cover to Hashem. Now, who would ever dream, you know, usually when we wash our face in the morning, we're 99% asleep, you know, throw some water on our face, you know, and it's just a very basic word that you used before, very basic procedure that we do in the morning, and it comes out that it can be such a glorified act, you know. That's a typical example of what we're talking about. In other words, but over there, you have to have the idea, the knowledge of that chazal. So the point of this activity is, first of all, to discover the different mitzvahs that are connected with the acts, right? Which itself is like an interesting activity. Try to, you know, the realization of different mitzvahs that are connected with the act that we do. Secondly, to be aware of it when you're doing the act, to be aware that you're doing it now, that mitzvah, and then to be mechaven, you know, the actual kavana, the actual intent when you're doing it, like the third thing. So The of course the goal of this thing is that eventually a person can reach the Madrega, the level that he does everything the Shem Shemayim. In other words, like sometimes we think of you know, great people, good tzaddikim. We wonder, like, besides their Torah knowledge, like, what's the difference in having a tzaddik live and an ordinary person? Like, what would be, it'd be interesting to know, like, can we crystallize different things that tzaddikim do that in their life, you know, that makes them unique? So I think this is one of the areas that makes a tzaddik, that a tzaddik is able to do this in the commas, you know, in the in the amount of got the word for it in the how do you say in English commas in the
quantity.
Quantity, right.
Oh, I see.
But the concept, most of us would think of the concept as something, you know, say, Rabbi Dwinsky, we have so many other important things to work on before working on doing things like the Shem Shemayim, that's like for Tzaddikim, and that's for, you know, Kedoshe Elyon, but it's not true. The Kedoshe Elyon, the big Tzaddikim, they're unique in this, but not that they're the ones that do it and we don't do it. The uniqueness, their uniqueness, like I say, the quantity that a big tzaddik probably does it the whole day. All his gashmistika things have this kind of content. But we, it's a very, like, I think it's a basic thing in Avodas Hashem, because there are so many things that we do during the day that are, you know, we say gashmias. And you see, this is the point you brought up before, Moshe, that we spoke about at the beginning, you know, of our sessions this this year. We spoke about gracious, about being cognizant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, taking HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our lives and having a perception of, you know, of the presence of Hashem in our lives. So I would say that this activity is, I mean, we worked on that as just as a thought, as a machshava, concentrating on the idea of the presence of Hashem. Now this uvda is putting it down into the world of the maisa, like when our acts, we're being mekayim that we believe Hashem is all over and the world is the Devar Hashem, you know, Hashem surrounds us and we're living together with Hashem, and by the realization that even our material things are serving Hashem, it's a way of bringing Hashem into our lives, into a practical, realistic way. I'm very happy that you said that, because it's a manifestation of the concept, like which is more of a machshava concept. Now, by doing this uvda, it's like bringing it into the world of realism. You know, the realization that we're living with HaKadosh Baruch Hu together, right? So when you put on tefillin in the morning, you put on tzitzit, so you know you're serving Hashem. But when you're washing your face, like you're doing, you're serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's really making Hashem, making him part of your life. So I would say that it is really a basic thing in Avodas Hashem. It's not like a hiddur or something, you know, for the Malchi Elyo. They do excel, and that it's true that it's something unique in this area to great tzaddikim. But the uniqueness is not the fact that they do it. The uniqueness is the frequency they do it. But, that's what this inyan is. Again, we spoke about labeling, to be able to label different acts that we do, the realization that they're mitzvahs, and then when we're doing it, to be have the awareness that now I'm doing the mitzvah. And then the third thing is to be able to I just have that machshava when you're doing it, you know, that you're doing it the shame, you know, to have the actual thought when you're doing it, the intent while you're doing it, that you're doing it in the shame mitzvah, right? And you have to believe that this thought I'm doing right this second, it has power, you know, even though, like you say, with the thought, without the thought, like here I'm brushing my teeth, same thing, and now I'm brushing my teeth, just with this thought, that it's the mitzvah of taking care of my goof. So just think that thought, I'm just doing the mitzvah of taking care of my goof while I'm brushing my teeth. That little difference is all the difference in the world, right? That's, you know, you're eating the shame mitzvah when you go to sleep, right? You go to sleep, you're laying down to sleep, so you're going down. That's a very good one, when you're going down to sleep, because you actually sleep for a few hours, right? So before you go to sleep, if you have in mind that you're doing it the shame, what mitzvah, and they have a mitzvah of first of all, you know, it's guarding your health, you know, when you go to sleep. So take care, and you have a mitzvah of taking care of your body. You have a mitzvah of replenishing your strength, so you can do the Ratzon Hashem. You can be able to do mitzvahs. So when you go to sleep, you're going to sleep to recharge the battery. So
you can have more machshavas the next day.
Right. You can learn Torah and you can do mitzvahs. So if you go to bed, you're going to bed, you're recharging your battery, like you have one of these cars that work on electricity, so you have to plug it in. So you're plugging in, like you're doing a mitzvah of recharging the battery. So it's a very, very, very real thought, I would say. One of the examples of this, epitomes of it, is that it's in the Gemara. I forget where the Gemara is right now, but maybe one of you remember that Hillel, after davening in the morning, so he was on his way home, and he was surrounded by a group of his talmidim, and they were discussing, having some Torah discussion, and finally came to a point. He was coming near his house. So he turned around, you know, to the talmidim, and he said, "Okay, we have to step right now. I have to go into the house. I have like a guest waiting for me in the house. You know, so you have to excuse me, and we have to put an end to the conversation now. And I have to serve this guest I have in the house." It seems that they discovered that there wasn't any guest in the house. You know, so they asked, you know, they weren't ashamed. Torah. They asked him, you know, what do you mean? There wasn't a guest there. So he said, "It's my body. You know, the body is my guest. You know, they have neshama, and neshama is taking care of the body. The guest is my body." So it sounds like a cute story. You know, but it's like a cute word or something from Hillel, Azokin. But it wasn't. In other words, Hillel was on the Madrega. This Indian that we're talking about, this matter that we're discussing, this issue, that Hillel was in such a Madrega that he actually was able to, what do you call it again? What's the word for it? To desegregate. When you have courses in school, you have it.
Differentiate
is also a good word.
Distinguish.
Word, distinguish is also a good word. And you have different courses here, so they're split up. It's called. Okay, it doesn't matter. But whatever it is, he was able to separate himself to such a degree. He was so great in this, in the realization and the feelings of this, that he actually was able to feel that when he was doing something for his body, it was like something outside it. It was like the body was something else, you know, segregation, you know, like it was like a different thing. In other words, he actually felt that he was taking care of some piece of meat, you know, some body. I mean, we all have to have that in Kavanah, that we have a mitzvah of taking care of the body, you know, of the mitzvah of Shemata Mitzvah Shechen, but we feel one with our bodies, you know. But he was able to make that separation, right, of his neshama was able to separate it. And he actually felt that he was doing, he was taking care of the guests in the house. It was just like a saying that he was saying. He was actually able to kill them.
It's a madriga to feel at one with your body. The lower madriga is that your nefesh is the guest to your guf.
The nefesh is the guest.
Yeah. Right. Unfortunately, that's the madriga I'm on. That is not even at one. I can't
say. You mean that it's the other way around?
Yeah,
the main thing is the body,
sure.
And the guest is the.
Sure.
Okay, that's a different discussion, right? Okay, Rabbi Sai. So our Uvda Lamaisa is that twice a day. Excuse me for a second again. The Lamaisa, the actual Uvda that we want to do, is twice a day we should try to focus on some Maisa that we're doing and to have the Kavana, right, the Mitzvah. Of course, part of the activity, you know, could be to put in the thought of discovering different Mitzvahs that we do during the day, different activities that we don't even, you know, think of them in terms of mitzvahs. In other words, trying to focus in on just the realization that they are mitzvahs and what mitzvahs they are. But the maisa is twice a day to have that the kavanah, right? Now I have to run to make the bus. Lovely to meet you.
Wonderful to meet you.
Are you going to be here for a while? Are you?
I'm here for a week.
So is that till next Sunday night, or?
He's leaving me. Well, we're going to be out probably next. I hope I'm going to be here next Sunday.
It would be very interesting to hear about your work with the truck and the cord. You know, but you have to run to make the bus now.